Malachim Aleph, Perek Chavetz, Pasuk Aleph. Ve'yesh b'sholosh shanim, ein milchama min Aram uvein Yisrael. So the 3 years where there's no war going on between Aram and the Jewish people. Now, this is really a continuation from the last Perek that was telling us how because Achav had some level of tshuva when Eliyahu told him that he did the wrong thing. So therefore, Hashem pushed off the punishment up until after he died. And it was only his children that had to suffer the punishment. So over here, we're going to see how that comes into fruition. So, Ve'yibashan HaShlishis, in the third year, Ve'yerid Yoshafat Melech Yehuda, El Melech Yisrael, Yoshafat, the king of Yehuda, goes down to Melech Yisrael. Right, up until now, Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael are rivals. They're enemies of sort. Not really enemies, because, you know, they're both kings over the Jewish people, but still, you know, it's competition. So he goes over to Melech Yisrael. What does he say? Ve'emarech Melech Yisrael al-Vadov, Hayedatem kilon Ramos Gilad. Did you know that Ramos Gilad really belongs to us? Ve'anachnu machashim mikachas oisach Miyad Melech Aram. And we are waiting from taking it back from the king of Aram. So what really happened with Rabbi Gilad? What was going on over here? So the Balbin points out that the king of Aram previously promised, as part of the peace agreement, he promised to return the cities. Right? But what did he do? He said, "Vani bevris eshlachecha," meaning I'm going to return it to you on a handshake. Nothing written down, no paper trail of any sort. And the king back then, yeah, Achav believed him. He said, "Yeah, sure, no problem, right? I trust you. You seem to be trustworthy to me." And now they say, "You know what? Aram never gave us that city of Ramos Gilad. It's time for payback. Let's, why are we waiting around? Let's go ahead and grab it." So what happens? Ve'yomer Yehoshaphat, he turns to Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, and he tells him, "Atelich iti l'melchama Ramos Gilad, will you go out to war with me to capture Ramos Gilad?" Ve'yomer Yehoshaphat, "Amalach Yisrael, kamayni kamaycha, ke'ami ke'amecha, kesusai kesusecha." He tells him, "My friend, I am like you. My nation is like your nation. Your horses are my horses. Sorry, my horses are your horses." Meaning what? "Kamayni kamaycha, I am like you." Meaning what? We are family. How are they family? They were mechatanasta. So they were related to each other. And "ami kamecha," obviously, because they're both kings over the Jewish people. And "susai kesusecha," meaning going out to war, my horses are just like your horses going out to war. Because when you win, when I help you win, you will then in turn assist me when I need your help. That's what he's telling him. V'yemer Yehoshaphat l'melech Yisrael, drash na kayoyim b'sdvar Hashem. So he goes to, he said, "Let's, before we go out to war, let's wait a minute, let's, you know, we have to ask, you know, ask Hashem, right? Before we go out to war, we can't just, you know, go ask without. We can't go out to war without consulting the Almighty." Yeah. So they have to consult the Nevi'im. So what does he do? Pasuk Vav. He gathers the Nevi'im, 400 Should I go out to war to capture Ramos Gilad, or should I stay back? And they say, "No problem, my king, your highness, please go out to war, and Hashem will help you capture Ramos Gilad." And who are these Nevi'im?
They're from They're from the north, from the 10 tribes. They're not real Nevi'im.
They're not real Nevi'im.
Huh?
They're not.
No. That's why I say, I don't know.
Which Nevi'im are they? Eliyahu already killed all the Nevi'i Baal. All the false Nevi'im are dead. Who are these guys?
The new ones.
New ones. So if you remember, if you recall, we learned that...
I mean, he hid a bunch of Nevi'im.
Eliyahu. No, those were real Nevi'im that he hid. Right? But these are not real Nevi'im. So where did these guys come from? If Eliyahu killed out all the Nevi'i Baal, where are these false Nevi'im? Where did they come from? They're all dead. So if you recall that Achav was in charge of Nevi'i Baal, and those are the Nevi'im that Eliyahu killed out completely. Right. However, there were other Nevi'im called Nevi'i HaShera, a different type of Avodah Zarah. And who was in charge of those Nevi'im?
His wife.
Exactly, Yizevel. Yizevel was in charge of the other Nevi'im, and she protected them. She was their protector. She said, "No, you guys, you don't have to compete with Eliyahu. I've got you covered. Just stay back, stay behind." Because she knew that there's nothing to them. She knew they're all gonna die, but she still wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. So she held them back, and that's how they were spared. So now, later on, when they're planning to go out to war, what do they consult? Nevi'i HaShera. Because that's all they had left. Because remember, Achav killed out all the other Nevi'im. Now, the Malbim points out another interesting thing, that it says, Ve'itan Adonai, right? He says that anytime it says, anytime it's referring to the Shem Hashem, to the real Hashem, meaning to Hashem Hashem, it says Havaya. Right? In Melachim, anytime it's referring to Hashem, it says Shem Havaya. Every other name, like Elohim, Adonai, like we find over here, that's not Hashem. That's not Hashem. That's something else. They're referring to other powers, other gods, so to speak. And that's why, if you look at the what do they say? These Nevi'i HaShera were false Nevi'im; they were not real. He says, "Alei ve'itan Adonai be'ad melech." Go up there. Why? Meaning, it's the way they're giving over the Nevuah is in very, very general terms. They're not giving out specifics, like, oh, you should atale, go up now, right? Now is your time. Why? Because these false Nevi'im, they weren't just, you know, it's not like they had no power at all. It's not that they were just like figures, oh yeah, I'm a prophet, I speak to God, right? No, they had some ability, but...
Some kishuf, some...
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah, some kind of magic or witchcraft... of some sort, and the way witchcraft works is it doesn't show everything clearly. It's a very hazed, distorted picture. And that's why the vision they saw was very unclear. So that's why they're also telling Yehoshaphat in a very unclear way, just like they saw. That's why they're not giving any specifics. So what does Yehoshaphat do when he hears these Nevi'i Baal, these false Nevi'im? V'yemer Yehoshaphat, ha'ein po'i Navi, la'Hashem oid, v'nidrash ma'isai. He says, no, enough of these fakers. I don't want these guys. Bring me a real Navi. Don't we have any real Navi left? Not even one. Right, let's ask him. He knows what to ask. He's not a fool. How did he know these Nevi'im are false? How did he know? What gave it away? So the Malbim says that he realized that they were false Nevi'im because they all gave the Nevuah in the same fashion, the same way. Typically, when a Navi gets Nevuah, every Navi gets his prophecy in a different way, in a different fashion. He sees an image.
Allegory or something.
Yeah, right. He sees an image, right? Some kind of image or showing, whatever it is. And he has to describe it himself. He has to bring it down to today's day, like to now, to human terms, to explain it in his own language. But so that's why every Navi will describe his Nevuah in a very different way, very different form. But these Navim were not so. You have 400 Navim, and all of them, every single one of them, gave the exact same Nevuah.
Same words.
Words, yeah, exactly. So that's why how Yehoshaphat knew, oh, these guys are fakers. They're not the real deal. Right? So, there's no point in trusting them. We got to get a real Navi down here. Suppose the Chas continues. V'emar Melech Yisrael Yehoshaphat, Oy dishacha lidrei shes Hashem ma'oisai, v'ani sinesiv, k'lo yisna be'al itoiv k'imra. Mechiyahu ben Yimla. V'emar Yehoshaphat, al yemar ha'melech kein. So Melech Yisrael says, tells Yehoshaphat, yeah, well, we do have this one real Navi left, named Mechiyahu ben Yimla, but I don't really like him. Why don't I like him? Because every time he has a Nevuah, not really good news for me. Doesn't really go over very well. Doesn't say good words for me. So, I'm not really interested in hearing what he's got to say.
Couldn't they have gone to the Kohen Gadol?
Well, for you mean the Urim and Tumim.
Yeah.
Right, good question.
I mean, that's where you... I presume you're supposed to go, but... If you're going out to war, you know, you got to ask the Kohen Gadol and see what the Torah says.
Right.
If you can read it right.
I mean,
you can read it bad. So you can read it, you know, there's different ways to... Ailey saw it wrong. He saw it say... shika, when it was supposed to say kosher.
Right. Yeah, that's by, what's her name? The mother of Shmuel.
Yeah.
Chana. Yeah, so Chana went to Davin, and Eli read the Urim V'Tumim and said, Shikaira? But really, it was the letters of Kshera. You're right. Yeah, so the thing is with the Urim V'Tumim is that it's very hard to know what the Urim V'Tumim really mean. You have to know which questions to ask, how to ask it. Right, we find that the Urim V'Tumim, you know, kind of gives you a false hope or a direction that you think you're reading too much into it. That's what you don't realize what the Urim V'Tumim is really saying.
The Kohen Gadol had to have a righteous person, not any problems.
Right.
Eli had sons that were, and he didn't yell at him, didn't tell him to straighten out.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
All right.
So let's continue. Ve'egra Melech Yisrael El Saris Echad. So the king of Israel calls a Saris, one of his officials. He tells him, you know what? It's a last resort. And it's true. I don't really like what he's got to say about me. But we gotta ask him. Wait, one more thing before we go further. So what is, when Melech Yisrael says, I don't want to get Michio, because Michio was the one to prophesize on his demise, Melech Yisrael's demise, he said, right, you're gonna fall instead of him. Bring him to Melech Aram. Right, you're gonna fall in the hands of Aram. That was the Nevuah, that was a prophecy of Michiel. So what does Yehoshaphat say? He says, no. Al Yomer HaMelech Ken. Don't say that. Don't say bad words about the Navi. Why? Because it's not up to the Navi. I mean, it's not his choice. He doesn't choose what he's going to say. It's whatever the king, whatever Hashem tells him to say, that's what he says. Right? It's not up to him. Hashem puts the words in his mouth, and he repeats them. So Don't shoot the messenger, right? Just because you don't like the message. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. So what does he do? So they send this official to go fetch Michio ben Yimla. Pasuk Yud continues. Melech Yisrael v'yashav ad Melech Yehuda yoshvim ish al kisay melubashim b'gadim b'goyim pesach shav shemer v'chol anavim misnabim lifneyem. So it's quite the scene. You've got Melech Yisrael and Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, sitting, each one of them on their thrones. And all of a sudden, all these 400 Nevi'im, who are really false Nevi'im, they're Nevi'i Asherah. They're not real. What does it say? They're giving off their nevuah. What do you mean? A second ago, we just said they gave their nevuah, and Yehoshaphat is like, "I'm not interested in this. I don't want these false nevi'im. I want to get the real deal." So what's happening over here now? So what happened was that once the official went to go call the real Navi, Michio, then what happened was is that all these 400 Nevi'im, which were false Nevi'im, really, they were now getting real Nevuah from Hashem. They're misnabim b'shem Hashem. Even though they weren't fit for Nevuah, right? They were not fit for Nevuah, first of all, because they were begoyren. Begoyren is not really a place, typically a Navi would go out to the wilderness to get his Nevuah. Right, he would go through a whole process. It says Nevi'im would play music for themselves. They would listen to music to get inspired, and when they would be accepting the Nevuah, it was a very terrifying sight. They actually had something that looked, you know, a bit like a seizure. It was like their whole body would tremble. Their like hands would like flail back and forth. It was a scene from out of this world. So to have Nevi'im getting Nevuah in the Goyren is typically where, you know, all the people gather, right? Pesach Sha'ar, right, in the opening of the city, right? Talking about the gates of the city, right? Typically, you have to go out to the middle of nowhere to get Nevuah, right? You don't get Nevuah in the middle of the city, right? So that was one flaw. Another flaw was because they're standing in front of the king. And they're getting this nevuah while they're standing in front of the king. Not only are they standing in front of the king, but the kings are on their throne, you know, wearing their royal garments. And typically, if you wear your royal garments sitting on your throne, it's at least intimidating to a degree, right? It's very intimidating. So if a Navi won't be able to access the Nevuah properly if he's got the intimidation from the king sitting on his throne. But still, this was a Nevuah from Hashem himself. Now, keep in mind that this Nevuah is false as well. It did come from Hashem, true. It wasn't like the Nevuah that they got before. The Nevuah they got before was not even from Hashem. Right? It was through some sort of witchcraft. That they had some abilities, but it didn't come from Hashem. It wasn't sourced in divine prophecy. The Nevuah they're getting now is sourced from Hashem. However, it's a Nevuah Sheker. It's not a real Nevuah. And we're going to see later on what this means. Why Hashem sent such a false message through them. So let's continue. These are the famous iron horns that Tzidkiah ben Kenana made. He turns to the king, he picks up these iron horns that he made, and he said, "These are the horns that you are to use when you fight against Melech Aram. You're going to gore him with these these horns, and you will defeat him. Now, who is this Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana? Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana was the first Navi, the first false Navi, to get the Nevuah from Hashem. After he got the Nevuah, everyone followed. Everyone got the same Nevuah as well. That's why he was the one to speak up over here. So he's basically using this as kind of like a, how should we call it? Like a message or a, kind of like to support his Nevuah. He's trying to support his Nevuah, and he's basically using this to say, oh, so to speak, Hashem told me to make these in order to support my Nevuah, to prove that what I'm saying here is right. Now again, keep in mind that Hashem is sending them a false message, not real Nevuah. But it's coming from Hashem. So he's using this kind of like to support his Nevuah. Oh, you're going to be victorious from war because you're going to use these horns.
What does it mean? Hashem can send false message?
Yeah.
Why?
Why would he do that? We're going to find out.
No, but why I ask you my idea. What is the reason for Hashem to say a lie?
We'll see. We'll see why he did it. He didn't do it just to make fun of them. He had a strategy in mind. He had a purpose.
But this is kind of completely different side of Hashem. He, as human being, can say lie or truth, depend on the situation.
Meaning you're asking, like, why would, like, how could it be that Hashem is lying?
No, but to look, you usually... Message from Hashem is message.
Right.
But in this case, this is a message, but he wants to say something wrong.
Right. He wanted these Nevi'im to say something wrong, yes. He's using them to deliver a false message.
But it means... We should not believe anything he said. Maybe it's all Torah is wrong message. How we know it? How we know if this is wrong message or not wrong message?
Right, that's a good question. So the way to know if it's a right message or wrong message is to judge it by the messenger. Is the messenger worthy, and is he a real Navi? If he's a real Navi, then you don't ask any questions. Right, you do whatever the Navi says. He has to be muchzak. He has to have some kind of position, a known position already, previous history, to know that he's a real Navi. Otherwise, you can't just trust him. These Navim are the opposite. Not only do they don't have a history, they have a negative history. Right? It's like on your credit, when you get a credit report, yeah?
Usually I believe it's real Navi received message. If he fake... He faked to receive message, but in this case he received message, but the message was fake.
Yeah. It's fascinating. You're right. It's very interesting to see that Hashem is sending false information through these Nevi'im. So it says, "Megagol in chayva elodei chayav." You bring about a negative thing through a negative person. And that's exactly what Hashem is doing over here. He's using these Nevi Asher, these false Nevi'im, to deliver a false message from him, from Hashem. Okay, we have to stop here because it's Ma'ariv, but we'll see later on what's really going on over here. We'll find out.